When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. So earlier at 2 o'clock today, a press conference was given by the Kissimmee Police in regards to the Madeline Soto case. We'll play a few snippets of that. And really what we learned was nothing. We learned nothing new from this press conference. And clearly, Chief Betty Holland probably felt the pressure from the press to give out some information on the case, but there was no new ground broken in regards to new information. I think that many people expected to hear that perhaps Jennifer Soto was implicated in this case and perhaps was going to be arrested. None of that occurred. None of those things occurred. So you may ask, well, why was there a press conference at all? Even some of the journalists from the audience asked questions and there was no new information. There was nothing groundbreaking, nothing that we didn't already know before. And I said early on that the Kissimmee police, I applauded them for doing, and I still do. You know, I just wonder, though, why they did this press conference when they really had no new information to deliver. You see the thumbnail on the screen, Madeline Soto, Kissimmee Police give update at 2 p.m. Well, the update really didn't give us anything new to talk about. So, folks, we're going to dissect this, what this means, where the investigation is at. But first, hold on to your hats. You're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. And of course, off the cuff. You're entering the police off the cuff zone.
There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped at 10th and Grange, Michael Byder.
We still don't know who pulled the trigger.
Folks, joining me today will be my co-host, retired NYPD detective and straight out of Brooklyn, Phil Grimaldi. How you doing today, Phil?
I'm doing pretty good, Billy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, this is a Kissimmee. He's right here. Getting elusive. I've tried to click on her. This was a complete waste of their time and our time. It's so irritating when they come on just showboat. What a good job they're doing despite having nothing to show for it and refusing every question. You know, Kissimmee, I here you are. That was B. Hi, Bill. Well, it's the same person, a complete waste of time. And as people scratching their heads to know if they really are taking this seriously, word here in the Kissimmee community is they held it as people are furious. Well, Kissimmee, Florida, you know something? I 100% agree with what they did. Well, I don't agree with what they did. They probably shouldn't have had a press conference, period, because everyone is sort of chomping at the bit to hear where is the investigation going? When are they going to drop the murder charges on Stephon Stearns? Is Jennifer Soto going to be arrested? Is she involved? Is there anyone else involved? So those are some of the questions we have. And they were not answered today in the press conference. Phil.
You know, Billy, sometimes messaging so important in cases like this, high profile cases. I think that when you do a press conference, an update, so to speak, you need to provide some type of updated information. Now, if you're not going to take questions, I get it. It's an ongoing case. There still hasn't been murder charges brought about. So you don't want to reveal too much about the case. But, you know, to come on and just have a press conference for the sake of a press conference, it's a little frustrating. It makes the community, it makes the public feel a little bit dismayed by the Kissimmee police. You know, we know that they're doing their job. This is an ongoing investigation. Sometimes, though, the messaging really, really important. Bill, you and I know about that from high-profile cases in New York and the NYPD. And you really want to be out in front of that, having the right person talking. And you know, sometimes the way you answer a question without answering it is even important. You know, you could just say no comment, and that really doesn't fly too well with people. A reporter asks a question, you might say we'll be able to address that at a later date. However, it's an ongoing investigation. We can't really reveal details about that specific point that you're making, you know, things of that nature. So we don't think we got a lot out of the press conference today. It's kind of status quo, so we'll have to see where it goes from here.
I'm going to play a little bit of Chief Betty Holland, and we'll just see that she really didn't tell us much, but let me play a little bit of it. You get a little sort of flavor of what she was saying.
I want to address some questions we are receiving from the media in everyone's effort to keep the community up to date on this tragedy. At this time, Stearns is facing a total of 60 charges related to our investigation. This includes sexual battery, lewd and lascivious molestation, and unlawful possession of materials depicting sexual performance by a child. These charges reflect the meticulous work of our law enforcement community. Our detectives also are working closely with the state's attorney's office for the 9th Judicial Circuit and the medical examiner's office on the investigation. Death investigations are complex. Tasks like forensic analysis and thorough interviews are crucial and require careful attention. It is vital to address these misconceptions in the pursuit of justice while preserving the integrity to the case. During an investigation such as this one, we gather additional information from individuals close to the deceased. Each person interviewed is treated as involved until proven otherwise. This is a standard protocol to ensure all the facts are uncovered. During our investigation, we have interviewed many individuals. Each interview has been vital to our understanding of the case. We are reviewing all of the information we received and are following up on every lead. Attention to detail and the diligence are the most important aspects of this investigation. We are committed to transparency and will provide updates when possible. Madeline's story has touched the hearts of many. Rest assured, our department is diligently working on the investigation. And while we appreciate the public's interest, we must prioritize the integrity of the investigation. We appreciate your support and understanding as we gather the facts. We intend to release additional information in the future, providing more details that we do not compromise the ongoing investigation. We vow to do everything in our power to ensure Madeline's memory is honored with justice. Our detectives are dedicated to pursuing every lead, uncovering every fact, and holding those responsible accountable. Now I will open it up for any questions.
So you can see that there's no new information. It was almost like she was reading from a form, and she was very careful with her choice of words. You know, Phil, if I had to ask you, Phil, give me the four most important things that you hoped to learn from this press conference, what would they be for you?
Well, I'd want to know, obviously, if there are any other victims in this case. Secondly, I'd want to know where the abuse and where the murder took place. Thirdly, I'd like to know if the mom is going to be culpable and maybe facing any charges. And fourth, I think, maybe some information with regard to the autopsy results. Those are the first four things that jump out at me.
You know, one of the things about that the chief did say, Chief Betty Holland, and she was very measured in her words. They said every person close to Madeline Soto has been interviewed. And she said Jennifer Soto was interviewed, cooperated, but she didn't say if she was still cooperating. So, yes, they interviewed her early on, but that doesn't mean at this point that she may have invoked counsel. Yeah. And she didn't give that up. When you said to me, the four most important things, of course, are everyone wants to know what was the cause of death. Well, how was this young child, Madeline Soto, killed? What was her cause of death? Was it asphyxiation, strangulation, blunt trauma, drugs, alcohol poisoning? What was it? No one knows. And the police know this right now. And I think that they're not releasing that, perhaps. Even though Madeline Soto is a child, a juvenile, I think the laws in most states are that once someone is deceased, they don't have the same expectation of privacy that someone who's alive would have. So I don't know specifically if the law says, or you can't release the autopsy of a child under such and such an age. However, they don't have to release the autopsy. They could just say the cause of death.
I agree.
X, Y, or Z. And everyone, of course, wants to know that. The other thing is that we want to know toxicology, which is all part and parcel and hand in hand with the autopsy, is the toxicology. However, the toxicology can take from 6 to 8 weeks to come back. So we can all accept that that's not available. As you said earlier, what was the location of the homicide scene, of the crime scene? And again, there's multiple crime scenes, but was Madeline killed in her home? I think most of us want to know that. Number one crime scene. Number two crime scene, Stefan Stearns' vehicle, right? Number three crime scene, the location where the body was recovered. Number four crime scene, the body itself. So four specific crime scenes. And I don't think either the journalists were being very laid back and very kind, but they weren't asking any hard questions. And I sort of think that Chief Betty Holland wouldn't have answered them anyway, but they could have at least attempted to ask a couple of more difficult questions.
You know, Billy, I have to agree with you. The way that the questions are answered could be, you know, just a no comment or shutting down. You know, you got to have a little bit more when you do answer those questions. With regard to the cause of death, that's kind of standard. And I think you're 100% right, Billy. I don't know if there's some type of a law in that particular state that would preclude them from releasing cause of death on a minor. I don't think so. Once we have a victim, usually that's kind of like a public record. For instance, they're releasing her name. So I don't know if the age is really going to be a factor here. And I don't think the cause of death is going to compromise any asset of the any different aspect of the homicide investigation. So, I mean, a cause of death is kind of basic information that you're giving out. You know, you're giving out the person's name, you're giving out specific details of maybe where it took place. And the cause of death is usually kind of a standard thing. I'm surprised that they haven't released that. Of course, that's really like something that will put a lot of people's minds at ease, so to speak, with regard to how this happened. We all kind of have an idea of where it happened, or how it happened. But I think the cause of death is really minimal information to give out, is the point I'm trying to make.
I think it's very important. Let's go back to the chief a little bit. She's answering a couple of questions, nothing really too important.
We know that you're working behind the scenes during this investigation to make sure everything is in order, but what can you tell us new today that we don't already know?
I don't have anything new that you don't already know, other than our detectives are working tirelessly day in and day out to ensure, you know, all the facts are uncovered in this investigation.
Chief Holland, is the mother a suspect or a person of interest in this investigation, and also with the videos that you uncovered?
All right, big question there.
Right.
Is the mother a suspect in this case? Is she a person of interest? I don't think the chief is really going to answer this one.
No.
Is there any evidence of the mother's involvement on any of these videos?
So everyone that was close to Madeline is considered suspect until we have proven otherwise.
Chief, how close are we able to know what actually happened to Matt Soto?
Bill, could you pause it?
This is a very sensitive.
That's kind of a cryptic answer there, Billy. She's saying that everybody's suspect until we've cleared them as being suspect. Everybody close to Madeline. So I think that leaves the door open for the mom being culpable at this point. If I'm reading between the lines a little bit, that's kind of a cryptic message. What do you think, Bill?
I think, yes. I think that she's not slamming the door on anything. She's keeping every possibility open. However, someone in the chat is just saying, has anyone even considered it may have been a suicide? That's impossible. They said it's a homicide.
Right.
They already said that. So thank you for saying, but no, it's been ruled a homicide. So suicide, I know that I've said a lot of times on this show, there are five manners of death: homicide, suicide, accidental, natural, and undetermined. All right. So that's all. Suicide's been taken off the table. So this is undoubtedly a homicide. Let's get back to the chief.
And, you know, it's very intricate. We want to make sure that we uncover every single fact and all the evidence before, you know, we don't want to put a timeline on it, basically, you know, because the detectives are very meticulous in what they do. And we want to be sure that everything is uncovered that possibly can.
Bill, your microphone, no microphone.
So just to clarify, this is from Kissimmee. Thank you so much. Under Florida statutes, they're precluded from releasing the autopsy as in a published report, but they will release the cause of death, the time of death, the toxicology, and the results, etc. And Kissimmee, Florida, thank you so much for that. And we were all expecting something, like give us something today. They really gave us nothing other than the fact that everyone is a suspect. We know that. I don't think we needed Chief Betty Holland to tell us that. We know that everyone is considered to be a suspect until they're cleared. But we still didn't get some of the most pertinent questions we would have. And that would be, of course, the cause of death. And we don't have that. And we don't even have really where was the crime scene? I didn't hear her really answer that totally to say, where do you think the child was murdered? She didn't answer that.
Billy, I want to piggyback what you were talking about with regard to manner of death. That's something that is determined by science. That's not something that, you know, it's an opinion. The autopsy is performed and scientifically they conclude homicide, suicide, accidental, natural, undetermined. That's all based on scientific evaluation by a medical professional. That's not something that's just my opinion. So anybody that in the chat that's talking about suicide, it's really off the table. We're not going into any other manner other than homicide at this point. And as I said, this is not something that is just an opinion. Scientific evidence has led the autopsy, the medical examiner, to conclude that it is a homicide. So I don't think we could put all of that stuff to rest.
And folks, by definition, homicide means death caused by another.
Right.
So that's why when I totally knocks out any thought of suicide because it's death caused by another. Kissimmee, Florida, again, I was here watching as two Kissimmee Police Department forensic vans and teams were taking out evidence from their house here. So presumably they have all the physical evidence they need. You know, Kissimmee, I don't doubt they have a ton of evidence. I don't doubt that I know they have probable cause against Stephon Stearns. I know. Do they have probable cause against Jennifer Soto? That's a little more complicated because they have to somehow prove she could be arrested for omission. And omission is a charge that not acting when you have the legal responsibility to act. And I see a charge like that down the road if she's not directly implicated in the homicide. Phil, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, Billy, I think that her initial cooperation with law enforcement and statements that she makes and other statements from other people that are associated with the family might have put her in the trick bag for charges. However, they haven't decided to make that decision at this point. Investigation is ongoing. Physical evidence has to be examined. There's a lot of different aspects of homicide investigation, as you and I both know. So at this point, they know that they're in control of the investigation. It doesn't look like she's going to flee at this point. So if they do decide to charge her, I think that time is on their side, so to speak. So whether or not that has been determined, it sounded to me in that press conference, based on that chief statement, that when she was asked directly, is the mom going to be charged? Is the mom a person of interest? Is a mom a suspect? And she said, anybody that's close to the victim in this case, Madeline Soto, that they are a suspect until we have deemed that they are not a suspect. So the door is still wide open on that particular avenue that they may go down. At some point, if she lawyers up, I think that'll be a major indication. I think that's kind of out there. We don't know that for sure. But if she lawyers up, it seems like investigators might be going in that direction. And that's when you're going to want to say, stop, hold on, I'm represented by counsel, time out.
Phil, she could be lawyered up and they didn't tell us.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Hasn't been determined. Oh, Miss Girl from the chat. When did Madeline allegedly text her friend that she wanted to go live in the woods when she turned 13? Was she already deceased at that point?
No.
Oh, Miss Girl, they found that in her phone. So when the text or the whatever it was written in on her phone, that was discovered on her phone, which is so indicative of a child that is living in an abusive home, that she, what 13-year-old wants to run away and live in the woods unless their home is the most unsafe, unsecure place? And that's indicative of that, of course. And very, very sad. Go ahead, Phil.
I was going to say that, your home as a child is the safe place. The safety of your home is what gives you a feeling of security. That was violated in this case, in this child's life. Perhaps that's why she made that statement about going to live in the woods. She didn't feel safe and secure in her own home, unfortunately, and it's tragic, believe me. But I think that that may be why some of the people are talking about a manner of death being suicide, because of her making a statement like that. Perhaps they felt that maybe she was suicidal based on the fact of the things that she was going through over the last couple of years with this animal. I don't even want to say his name, but it's just infuriating when you think about it. It's just something that's so sad. And I get why people might be feeling that suicide may have been one of the options on the table with the manner of death. But we already went through that. It's not even on the table.
Kissimmee, Florida, you come up with some very good points from the chat. How could the Kissimmee PD make an early determination of death by homicide before they even found her body? Well, Kissimmee, do you remember when Chief Mena gave a press conference and he said they have her on video inside Stefan Stearns' car and she appeared to be dead at that point? So that's not a murder determination, but with other factors, they've been calling this a murder from day one, but we're not seeing a medical examiner's determination who ultimately, well, you know, something on the scene, you know, EMS, of course, comes and EMS will determine, you know, the person's dead. And then there's someone called medical legal investigators that respond to the scene and they work for the medical examiner's office and they'll do a complete examination of the body. It's not their job to determine on the scene cause of death, but or manner of death. They're not going to say, oh, this is a homicide. That's not their job. That would be the job of the pathologist after an extensive, thorough autopsy and combined with interviews with the detectives. Yes, the medical examiner interviews the first responding officers, the first responding detectives. Ask them certain facts. What did you see? What did you recover on the scene? Other evidence that would help the medical examiner make that type of determination.
Bill, talk about two things here. One, when you have information early on, they're unable to find this child. She's not answering her cell phone. Now you have a video that shows her, which appears to be either unconscious or dead. That's how I think they got to that point. Now, you brought up a great point, Billy. Legal medical investigator responds to the scene once they find the body. Now, you're 100% right. The autopsy that's done, that's when the manner of death is determined. However, you could get information from that legal medical investigator when they do examine the body, perhaps petechial hemorrhaging in the eyes, marks around the neck. So they may give you that information ahead of time before the autopsy is conducted. So now we say, all right, we think at this point, even though it hasn't been determined by the medical examiner, it looks like a strangulation. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened in this case. I'm just giving a scenario where you detectives respond to the scene of a victim's body that has been found. You get information from that legal medical investigator. Perhaps it's a knife wound. Perhaps it's a gunshot wound. Sometimes they can even tell if it looks like it's a self-inflicted gunshot wound. However, they say preliminary. They always tell you preliminary based on the autopsy that's done by the medical examiner at the time. And then that medical examiner uses science, as I said earlier, to come up with a manner of death.
Absolutely. Again, I'm going to go to Kissimmee, Florida. Also, Phil, their house had a ton of prescription meds available. Then Kissimmee, Florida, perhaps we're going to be looking at how important the toxicology will be in this case. Could they have given her something that caused her death?
That may be the whole linchpin to this case. Perhaps the abuse was going on, drugging her, and maybe too much drugs or whatever it was, and an overdose occurs, and that's how we wind up where we are today. Again, that is just a possibility. I'm not saying that's what I think it is. Based on the information that Kissimmee's given us, that there was a lot of narcotics in the house, that's one of the scenarios that could play out here.
Rogerio Brito, is the law enforcement obligated to tell the public the whole truth about the case at one point, or just if they want to? Sorry for my ignorance. Rogeria, please. That's a great question. No, they're not required to tell the public anything. But because of freedom of the press, and there's also a law called FOIL, which stands for Freedom of Information Law, the press can sometimes subpoena the police to get certain records and sometimes implore them or force them to release things. I don't know if the press has done that in this case, but this is a tactic of law enforcement. And really, this tactic is done because of one word, lawyers, right? And they have to keep this stuff quiet till they have enough evidence that they're ready to go forward. Okay, this is what how the attorney is going to come at us, so let's make sure we do this. Let's make sure we do that. Let's make sure we have this evidence before we pull the trigger on this case. So all of those are reasons, and they don't want to. You could see the public right now is in a frenzy, and so is the press. They want to know more than the police are willing to release. And the police, their first obligation is to the victim.
Absolutely, Billy.
And
absolutely,
they want to get a conviction in this case. So as much as we, the general public, the press, and everyone following this case wants to know more information, what circumvents that is the need to keep this quiet and get a conviction after trial.
Bill, very good with that name, Rogeria. I believe that last comment was very good. You know, the police aren't obligated, as you said, Bill, to provide all of the facts of the case, all of the information. However, at trial, all of that does come out. And with regard to lawyers, as we you mentioned, Bill, and information being given out, you know, if too much information is given out, it taints the jury pool. And down the line, a defense attorney can ask for a change of venue. A change of venue is when a crime takes place in a certain County. And because of high profile and press releases and all the information, they feel they make an argument to the court that the defendant has already been tried in the court of public opinion. However, they want to move the case to a different location so that way the jury pool will not be tainted. So that is why sometimes when limited information is given out about specific cases, again, there's a lot of legal mumbo jumbo. I wish Mike Geary was here to explain that a little better, but I think that's one of the things that has to, one of the components that has to be looked at when you're giving information out on a case.
You know, Kissimmee, Florida, again, I'm going to pull you up in the chat. We're having a personal conversation almost. How would he be able to make a statement of homicide at that point and her body was not even found at that point? That's what I'm struggling to understand. Perhaps at that point, Chief Mena and the police had more information.
I was just going to say
we know about that they're not releasing. And could that have slipped out? We believe she's, you know. Well, first of all, when you think of it, Kissimmee, Florida, what person drives around with a dead body in their car? So, again, the old word, you can't assume because you make an ass of you and me. However, they know more than we know. They just have not released it. So I can't answer all your questions. I can also give assumptions, educated guesses on why they said certain things. Look, I believe they have probable cause to pull the trigger on the murder arrest on Stephon Stearns right now. But guess what? They don't have to. They found that 60 separate charges in his phone. If the murder case never came forward or they couldn't prove it, he's going to prison for the rest of his life based on what was in his phone.
With regard to the information that's given out initially, Bill, I think you hit the nail right on the head. The posture of the police appears to be that they felt it could have been a homicide. That's based on information that they had. They didn't show everything that they had. Like you said, Bill, perhaps there was more information that wasn't released. I think the video and maybe some interviews, unable to get a hold of her. Phone is not picking up. She's missing. And there's probably other components that we don't know about. That's probably how they took the posture early on that this was a homicide investigation. So I hope we answered that question for Kissimmee, Florida, because coming up with some great questions.
Judy Lovett from the chat, the death penalty is warranted in this case. He is a monster and should never be free again. As for the mom, if she was not involved, she was neglectful. In not protecting her daughter. I agree with you. And you know something, I've took an unpopular position many times on this show that I think that Jennifer Soto has to be involved, either through omission which omission is basically ignoring things and not taking action when she had the legal responsibility to do so. So it somehow has infuriated some people, but that's okay. I'm looking at this from an investigator's perspective. And obviously this goes back. Madeline Soto was 13 years old when she died. This goes back to when she was 8 years old. Take a look at it. What do you think? Do you think this child was protected? I don't think so at all.
You know, Billy, you have a couple of things in play here. You're going to have the initial statements by the mom. Now, if they did a detailed interview, I don't know if they would have gone back to what was going on in the home 2 years ago. Perhaps they talked about things that were going on in the home recently. But now, once you uncover that information from the perpetrator's cell phone and you have video, you have pictures, a lot deeper interview can be done based on that information. And that's where I think drilling down on the mom, trying to get more information, perhaps that was where she could be held culpable for criminal charges based on that information. You have the phone information, videos, pictures, maybe even text messages or some sort of communication. And now you're going to question her with regard to that. And you're going to compare the two. And if there's enough information put forward on her part that she could be held culpable, then charges will follow.
JPL, Jay the Stelladoro. Mom, supporting this monster blows my mind, exclamation point. I think that's why I believe she knew something about this dude and perjured herself. Well, she didn't perjure herself unless she unlawfully, she swears to it under oath. And in our society, you can lie to the police and not be charged with perjury. But once you go into a court of law and raise your right hand and swear to tell the truth, then you can be charged with perjury, just to clear that up. Some of the things that we learned in the press conference, and we didn't learn a hell of a lot, was that anyone and everyone close to Madeline is going to be interviewed and considered, according to Betty Holland, Chief Betty Holland, considered a suspect until they're able to clear that person. And of course, who we're mostly concerned with is Jennifer Soto. And that's the, her and Stephon Stearns were the people most close to Madeline, lived with her day to day, going back, you know, till she, when she was 8 years old. So 5 years, going back 5 years. Another thing I wanted to mention, the cell phone and the images, a treasure trove of information, an unbelievable treasure trove of information that not just gives incriminating evidence against Stephon Stearns, but gives locations, times, dates. It's like served on a platter to the police. So this is a tremendous thing. And that is why the police are in no hurry to charge, because this guy is not going anywhere. They got this dude nailed. Do they want the murder charge? And of course they do. Of course. And they and we want everyone charged in this case that deserves to be charged for this.
Billy, you brought up such a great, great point. That cell phone, I'm not going to mention his name again, the perpetrator's cell phone. If a video is taken, let's say we'll use an iPhone, for instance, but most smartphones, late model smartphones, there's a date, a timestamp, and there's also a location of where that video is being taken or that photo. So that's going to be very, very important. So if we believe that these egregious acts took place within the home, there will be a way from the cell phone to figure out where the video or the photo was taken. So that's going to be a treasure trove of information, as you said, Billy. And again, the prosecutor's office, subpoenas will be sent to the cell phone company. A lot of different information will be deciphered, and you have to have expert information, an expert to read that information and to be able to decipher that information. So that perhaps is why the murder charges haven't come forward as quickly. I know that they came forward with the 60 charges of the abuse. Perhaps the murder charges will be following shortly. And I think they're just getting, as we say all the time, getting their I's dotted and their T's crossed.
You know, besides the technical and the forensic evidence of times and dates, you can identify the video or the photos to the home. Oh, yes. That's inside of their home, and match it up to their home. And that is like so powerful evidence, because it shows that the home was not this place of peace and security and safety. It was a place where violent crimes were going on, and for years.
Billy, think about the Murdoch case. The Murdoch case, and the reason I bring that up is because perhaps we're going to have a similar situation. Murdoch's voice was heard in the background of a video that was taken by the son before he was killed. Now, in this case, when they're examining these photos and perhaps a video, maybe there's someone in the background, a voice in the background, and they're going to determine who that person is. So now we're talking about maybe someone else that could be culpable in this case, and perhaps maybe it's even the mother. So we don't know yet. A lot of work has to be done. They have to go through these things painstakingly, you know, just second by second, and look at it and examine it. And, you know, it's going to be very important and very powerful. And I think you made the point too. It's based on the background, it could be inside the home. And then you have the technology part of it, where it's going to show this video was taken at this date and time and at this location. It doesn't give an address. It gives, I forget the word for it, but the measurements of
the
where
coordinates,
that's the word. So it'll give the coordinates as far as where that phone was, the exact coordinate of where the phone was at the time that that particular video or photo was taken. So that's really, really important. That's going to be strong with regard to the SA charges.
Amber Gloria, will the jury have to see that stuff at trial? 100%.
Absolutely.
They must see it. The power of horrific evidence like that. Will a defense attorney try to have it thrown out? I don't think he'll have any luck doing that. Yes, he will. But yes, the jury will have to see that as ugly and gory because it's an important part of this case. Jay the Stelladoro, in my opinion, I think mom is hiding out at family's homes at one point. She was at her sister's and her car was in her garage. You know, the police aren't releasing that. They're not releasing where the mother is. They're not releasing. They said the only thing that Chief Betty Holland released was that Jennifer Soto was interviewed and did cooperate. But she said she was very careful. She said she was interviewed. She didn't say if she continuously agreed to be interviewed further on in the investigation. She never committed to that. You know, folks, this is Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. If you like real crime, true crime, from a police perspective, then you're in the right place. And if you're not subscribed to us, go on our YouTube, hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, and ring that bell. Share us with your friends, your family, and hit that like button. If you want to contribute to us monetarily, we have a Patreon with three different levels, and we also have a YouTube channel membership with, count them, five different levels. And we appreciate all our fans, our friends, our subscribers who make this show what it is and possible that we can do and continue to do what we do. So, Phil, we've repeated everyone. I think everyone at this point has watched the press conference. And are we all disappointed? Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I thought that something was going to be revealed today that we didn't know. And really, nothing. You know, people are saying nothing burger. I just love that term. Nothing burger. But it didn't, we didn't get any new information from today. And this chief, Betty Holland, was very measured in her tones, you know, and as a result, didn't give us anything really new.
No, ma'am, we are still waiting on the medical examiner's report.
Chief, do you believe Maddie was killed inside of the family's home or somewhere else?
We're still uncovering all of those details. I'm not going to speculate on that until we have the facts.
Chief, can you tell us if Stephen acted alone in all of this?
We're still uncovering all the evidence. I don't want to speculate whether he was or not. We will wait until the investigation, you know, is completed to make that determination.
As Stephen Stern said, he acted alone, or what has he said in interviews with you since we know he's in jail?
Yes.
What has he told you about other people's involvement, if any?
He has invoked his right to a lawyer, so we have not spoke with him. I don't want to rush my detectives. I think it's paramount that they take their time. And, you know, Mr. Stearns is not going anywhere. You know, he's in jail and he's going to be there for a while. So my detectives, you know, I want them to be, you know, just look at every single detail and make sure. But I don't want to give a timeline at this point. So not really. I wouldn't say that they've released an information. We depend on the medical examiner's report for our report. So we're going to have to wait until they release that report.
You know, I'm pretty sure that the police know the cause of death.
Yeah.
They wouldn't hold that out right now. It's her body was found on March 1st. Today's the 21st. So it's 3 weeks. So I think they know. They're not releasing it though. That's obvious. The chief said, she sort of said, well, we can't really speculate, but they know. Trust me, they know.
You know, Billy, I get the pressure to give information, to have a press conference, to update. She probably could have done a little better with maybe the manner of death. And also maybe talk about, you know, he's in prison, he's on suicide watch, or he's in segregation, whatever it is. Come up with a couple of three or four things if you want to do a press conference to relieve the pressure of the public saying, what's going on in the case? We want an update. They should have came up with something. We're not ready to talk about that. We're not ready to speculate. I get all of that, but they should have come up with something. Even, I don't know, his medical condition, if he's going to go for psych evaluation, something of that nature, just to give the public something. Or why did you do the press conference then? Just to stand up there and say, you know, the investigation's ongoing. We all know it's ongoing. So I'm not trying to be critical. I know that they're doing a very difficult job. I know that she's trying her hardest, but I just feel like with the messaging, not that I'm an expert on it, but they could have came up with some little tidbits, and that way people wouldn't be in the chat saying it's a nothing burger. You know, you would have gotten, all right, we know what his state of mind is. He's going for medical evaluation for psychological issues. He's in segregation. He's on suicide watch. I don't know that any of those things are even true, but something to talk about. He's not on suicide watch even, you know, some kind of an update could have been, some kind of information could have been given for that update. Or, you know, you don't do it. You just give a press release on paper and say, here's what's going on. Status quo on the case, investigation continuing, further updates as time goes on. So, but they try to get out there. They wanted to, you know, satisfy everybody that's giving pressure, that wants to know updates on the case, but they really didn't give much information.
No, not at all. Betty F. From the chat. They will check the mom's work schedule with date, time of video to see if she was
absolutely
home during all of the SA. You're 100% right. Check her phone ping, see if she was home. Betty F., excellent point.
That's probably what's going on right now. That's probably part of the investigation that's going on right now.
Sherry Murray, hey, Sergeant and Detective, how long was poor Maddie's body out there before they found her? Well, they believe that she was murdered on the 26th. And her body was found on the 1st. So what is that? That's five, coming up on 5 days, right?
26, 27, 28. Yeah, 5 days.
5 days. So it could have been out there for 5 days. And so anyone that knows about homicide, there would have been significant amount of body decomposition.
Especially in warm weather, and that climate is warm. So,
and it's left out in the open. There's animal activity, you know, all the things that would damage your body. However, there also could be very important evidence on that body. We talk about DNA. If there was a struggle, she could have the suspect's DNA underneath her fingernails. So everything about this case, and I want to get back to the cell phone. How about even Stefan Stern's cell phone? Let's get past the pictures and the video and all that stuff, which of course is what's going to nail him to a wall. How about even the numbers, the people in his phone who he was dealing with? You think there's any other abusers in his phone? That's part of the investigation too. That can connect the dots. That could put him, you know, people on this case have been championing conspiracy theories. This is an SA ring. Well, we're going to check out every single number. And, you know, one of the things you can do is with the name, run criminal checks, criminal history checks on them. Are any of these people registered? Are any of them registered offenders? So all of that, and we can appreciate the amount of work all of this is. And when the police say they're diligently working, believe it, they're working. This stuff doesn't happen overnight. You know, I used to write the reports on homicides that would be used to brief the police commissioner. And people would call me and they'd say, the chief wants to know what's going on, as if he had this power. He could wave his hand and I could tell him exactly what happened an hour after it happened. And I would tell his little bucket boy, I would say, listen, I can tell you what happened, but it won't be accurate. So if you want accuracy, you have to wait because I don't know what happened yet. And they didn't like that answer. But you know something, dude, you know, I can't turn water into wine and I can't walk on water. So unless you want to wait, and this is policing and it's frustrating. And I compare the press a lot to that. They want to know stuff before the police know it. And guess what? First of all, we're not giving it to you. And second of all, we don't know yet, you know? And the way that they get by with not telling you is, of course, they talk about keeping the investigative information close to the vest.
Billy, that phone you're talking about, right off the bat, if I get that phone and I see, before I do any subpoenas, and I see text messages or I see conversations or just people that are in the contacts, you can Google a phone number and come up with a person's name. And then you go right into, without having subpoenas, you go right onto any computer and you go into the sex offender registry and you could see if that person is listed as a person that's on that registry. Now, obviously, as you go deeper, that was something you'd do preliminarily. As you go deeper, you'd get subpoenas for all of these different things and you can go even deeper into criminal records checks and stuff like that. And you can uncover perhaps, was he associated with anyone that had criminal activity or criminal behavior with regard to sexual, being on a sex offender registry, whether or not they were a sex offender, and you can uncover if there was anyone else involved in this case. So those are some of the techniques that the detectives probably did very early on, looking into information on that phone, trying to ascertain if there was anyone else that he was associated with that had that type of a background.
Nana Lovely from the chat, why not at least charge abuse / mishandling of a corpse? Well, Nana, one of the reasons is they don't have to, because the stiffest penalties are some of those SA charges and of the 60 charges they already have. Can they add that charge that you're alluding to down the road? Yes, they don't have to do that right now. I don't think they even took these charges to a grand jury yet. The 60 charges that they have, that they wrote up the arrest affidavit for. Did they indict him at a grand jury? He hasn't even shown up in his arraignment, right? So, good point, but they can add those charges. And you know what I think that they're all counting on, of course. Jacqueline Ha, Bill, but you always tell us these things take time. All of this stuff takes time. I don't know, did I contradict myself? No, all of this, especially cell phone records. And just imagine methodically going to a cell phone and looking for a specific number on a specific date at a specific time. Did this person call him? Did he call this person? When did they call? What date was that? Where was he when he made this call? So, yes, all of those things are very meticulous. And when I was in homicide, the guys who did the cell phone work, I would just be like, I don't know how you do that. I would pull the hair that I don't have out of my head if I had to do that, because it's so meticulous, takes so much patience, which I don't have a lot of. And the guys that did it, they did it for almost every case and they were great at it.
You know, Billy, with regard to those, the first comment that you put up with regard to the misdemeanor charges, that's those charges about handling a corpse. Those are misdemeanor charges. They don't carry a long jail sentence. It's usually about a year in jail if you're convicted of it. Sometimes if we don't have anything to charge a person with, but we can prove that they moved a body or had something to do with a dead body, that's when they would employ those charges and they would plead to the court, this person's being charged with this crime of handling of a dead body. But we feel that going forward, we're going to have enough information based on our investigation to charge this person with a higher felony. So we're going to ask the court to maybe put a high bail. So things of that nature sometimes take place in cases. But in a case like this, like you said, Billy, 60 charges of SA and all carry very, very high jail sentences. To put another misdemeanor charge is really irrelevant at this point. We're going to try and go for the murder charge, which would be the highest one, where it's a death penalty statute. So let's hope and pray that that's the direction that they're going to go in.
You know, Phil, a reporter for the Osceola News the other night was on Vinnie Politan, and he said very correctly, he said, you know something? As soon as these murder charges come forth, that takes center stage, and those 60 charges, they will be the underlying felonies that they use to get the death penalty. And he's right. Yep. What they're concentrating on and what they want to happen is they want this murder case to go forward. However, they're not going to rush it because they want to make sure they get it right. And he, as this chief said, Chief Betty Holland, he's not going anywhere. He's in jail. So we don't have to rush. The law is on our side right now. And the patience is really, it's his attorney. And what is his attorney going to do? His attorney probably doesn't know what to do at this point because he doesn't know which way the law is going to come at him first.
Don't forget, too, Billy, we also have the prosecutor's office in Kissimmee, Florida, that's going to have a lot of input on the direction that the case is going to go at this point, because they're the ones that are going to have to stand up in open court in front of a judge, in front of a jury, in front of defense attorneys, and they're going to have to put the case forward, and it has to be ironclad and solid. So like you just said, time's on their side. They're not in a rush. They're going to examine all the different aspects of evidence that come into this case, whether it be technology from cell phones, cameras, computers, the physical evidence that's going to be recovered from the four crime scenes that you mentioned, autopsy results with more evidence there. So all of those things have to be analyzed. And then you have to sort of put together a battle plan. It becomes a battle when you're up against a defense attorney. We're going to provide this information. We're going to provide that information. And you also, as a prosecutor, have to kind of figure out, well, once we put this forward, what's going to be the reaction from the other side? And you're going to have to know what direction they're going in. What is their defense going to be? Because you know he's not going to take a plea on this case. He's not going to plead guilty. He's going to go to trial. And so you have two different entities. You have the prosecution and defense that are going to have to go at it and present their cases. And we want a slam dunk case, as they say. So let's just be patient. And hopefully once everything's put forward and put on the table, they can move forward with those murder charges.
Amber Gloria, thank you so much. She gifted 10 police off the cuff memberships. That's very kind of you. Very generous of you. Thank you so much, Amber Gloria. I'm seeing a lot in the chat that most of you folks from Florida, from Kissimmee, you're infuriated at this press conference. You wanted to know more information. Yeah, we all did. We all wanted to know. But, you know, just realize that in the end, them not giving out information will result in a much more thorough prosecution and the chance that he could get out off on a technicality or anything like that. That's why, and again, we use the term ad nauseum, cross your T's and dot your I's. But it's so important. The chief, Betty Holland, said that also. And yeah, we get sick of hearing it. But so, the main thing, why did they do this press conference? Well, I think it's almost like letting a little bit of air out of the balloon before it blows. Because you obviously, the press, the community, they want to know something. Did she throw you anything today?
Very little.
Very, very little. Is anyone satisfied that, oh, okay, now I see more. I understand. No, I don't think that they threw you really anything today that you didn't already know before she did this press conference. Bill, do they take facial samples for DNA? JPL, the Stella Dotto, no. The way they collect DNA, and it's called an exemplar, is they take a Q-tip and they swab the inside of your mouth for saliva. And then they put it in a paper envelope and it's processed from that. That's called a DNA exemplar.
Hair samples are usually to determine if a person has narcotics in their system or something of that nature. Like you just said, Billy, if they want to do a DNA comparison, they get the exemplar from the swab on the inside of the mouth. Sometimes court ordered as well. If a person doesn't submit to it, they get a court order if they have enough probable cause for that person to be, compared with a DNA sample.
Well, you know, we saw a lot of hair DNA in the Gilgo Beach case with Rex Ewerman and his wife, Asa Ellerup. Right. Her hair was found on three of the victims. And that's something, a procedure called mitochondrial DNA. It's very complicated, but law enforcement and labs like Othram have gotten better at processing mitochondrial DNA and making identifications that couldn't be done 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Now they're doing it routinely. In this case, one of the problems with DNA in this case, unless, of course, it's found under the fingernails, is that they all live together.
Yes.
So wouldn't you expect their DNA? Of course, Madeline's DNA will be inside Stephon Stearns' vehicle because she rode in that car all the time. So is that really strong evidence? But depending where we find the DNA, that could be good evidence. But, you know, as I said, they live together. Their DNA is expected to be commingled in a lot of places.
Billy, very good point, because if let's say a hair is found in that car, you know, the argument's going to be made by a defense attorney if it's brought out. Well, she's in that car. A human being loses between 50 and 100 hairs a day. She probably lost that one of the times when she was in the vehicle. However, if it's blood, how did her blood get in that car? Now you have to have an argument. Well, she cut herself and she was in the car. They took her to the hospital, but can we can really vet that. We can check something like that. So that type of DNA, if it's inside the vehicle, is going to be much harder to explain as opposed to a commingled hair, like you said, since both people have access to the vehicle. To find the hair wouldn't be unusual. However, blood, something like that, that would be unusual. So there may be things that are found on the body that maybe are also found in the car with regard to fibers or something like that. Then possibly there could be a connection. But with regard to this situation, as you said, Billy, she's got access to that vehicle at different times. So something like a hair, her DNA, is not going to be very powerful.
Absolutely. Pamela Rich Properties from the chat. Why would they not ask when the mother knew about the essay? They would ask. Oh, they're just not telling us. They're just not volunteering that information to us. Of course they asked. Look, I don't know how thorough the interview was with Jennifer Soto, because very early on, before they found Madeline's body, they were, of course, treating her with kid gloves because she was the mother of a missing 13-year-old. So after they find her body, did they bring her back in and re-interview her? I don't know. And they're not offering that. They're not offering that. Do we know whether or not it had been rumored that Jennifer Soto lawyered up? Do we know that for a fact? I don't think we do know it. People had implied it, but no one said, oh, this is her attorney. She's lawyered up. We can't talk to her anymore. So there's so many things about this investigation that we do not know. Pessa, since Maddie was scared to sleep alone, Stone went to her room late at night when mom was passed out.
Very possible.
Yeah, I mean, look, these are some of the horrific facts we're going to find out. Kissimmee, Florida, that's a great point, Bill. There were other men in that house besides the three of them. Rooms were apparently being rented out. That's, to me, and I understand the economic situation in this country and in this world, in this Kissimmee, Florida, but I think it's so dangerous to bring people into your home unless they have a separate apartment. But if they're renting a room and they're living in your home proper, I think that's very scary, especially when you have a 13-year-old daughter.
Bill, I just want to talk quickly about whether or not the mom being involved or having knowledge of it. In the initial stages when she reports it, I'm the investigator. I get this missing person case. I'm going to get as much information from her as I can with regard to her daughter. We want to try and find the daughter. But now when that phone is uncovered from the perpetrator and we see the things that we see on that phone, second interview, or maybe it was the third or the fourth or whatever it is, I'm getting her back in and I'm going to ask her about specific things from based on what I saw on that phone. And that's where I think the back and forth, where if she did, that's where she could have lawyered up, because to go into the past for 2 years and look at the things that we know that were on that phone and her not having knowledge of it, that's really questionable.
I agree. Sana Elise Hoth Johnson, thank you so much for
NOK19
super sticker. Very much appreciated. Thank you for your following of this show. We really appreciate you attending almost every show. I see you here.
Billy, I got to say, I'm very delighted with the chat as of late. The subscribers, the fans, whatever you want to call them, our friends, they've really been engaged, specifically with this case and some of the other ones. It's just so great to have this conversation and explain things. And we're not getting silly comments. We're getting real good questions from our subscribers and our followers. So it's really it's a really good conversation, I guess, that we're having with them. And I think that maybe some of the questions they're asking us, we're answering them and educating as well. And some of the things that they asked, I mean, maybe I didn't have that in my mind, but now I said, you know what? That's a great question to ask. So we're really having a good conversation with our subscribers and the people in the chat.
I think that we're actually getting a lot of people as Kissimmee FL in the chat that are from the community and are enraged at this. And so,
how could you not be?
Yeah, and so want to know more about this because they're so upset about this. This is their community. This is their police department. And people almost feel like they have the right to know. And the truth is, you don't. You don't really have the right. You have an expectation, perhaps. Kissimmee FL, you are sure answering them far better than the KPD gave at 2 p.m. Well, Kissimmee, thank you. But you know something, they're professionals. This is their case.
Yes.
This is their baby, you know. They want to make sure they do everything right. And I understand where they're coming from. Sam, been loving you guys from across the pond. Great Britain, we learn a lot from you guys. Sam, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Forsooth investigation, laugh out loud. Sana Elise Hoth Johnson, happy to be here. That's a pretty nice dog you got there too, you know. Kissimmee, Florida, there was absolutely nothing to match the NYPD investigative experience. Thank you so much.
That's a nice compliment. Thank you
very much. And I, to tell you the truth, I think the Kissimmee police are doing a hell of a job. They really are. This is not an easy case. You could see how infuriated it can make a human being, especially. How about the detective that was interviewing Stephon Stearns? And he asks him permission. Can I look into your phone? And Stephon Stearns says, yeah, because you know why? Because he thought he did a factory reset on his phone and everything was erased. So he's going to be a wise guy. Yeah, go ahead, look. And they discover the horrific photographs that they found on the phone. Now, as I said on many other shows, I would have stopped. I would have stopped right there and got a search warrant for the rest of the images. Because once you see it, I'm not going to rely on him signing a consent to search. I'm going to say, let's stop.
Do both. You're right, Billy. Do both. That way it can never be questioned. It could never be questioned. Do both.
Maui Swift gifted one police off the cuff membership. Maui, thank you so much. Always great to see you, Maui. Hawaii. How could you live anywhere else, right? Once you live in Hawaii, would you ever want to go anywhere else? Maui, thank you so much. Great to see you. I want to just play sort of the end of the chief's interview and then we'll go from there.
No, it appears that this all was isolated to the home.
No, Billy,
I don't know if that question was all the crimes committed inside the home, because we couldn't hear what the journalist asked. But the answer was no, it was isolated to inside the home. So I'm not sure what
the that could be a lot of different things. Was the crime scene? Was the essay? You know, there was a lot of different things, but something was isolated to just the home.
Well, they had indicated in the investigation that they identified
the home,
the interior of the home, as where a lot of these crimes had taken place.
Yep.
I think our questions are being answered slowly but surely. You know, for the integrity of the investigation, we have to, you know, keep things close until such time as we hold those accountable for her death.
Do you think this is taking longer than it should because Stearns is not speaking?
No, I just think that, you know, sometimes these investigations are just very lengthy. We know that he is in jail and he is not going anywhere. So the detectives are just making sure they cross their I's, you know, cross the T's and dot their I's.
Hey, she's using our line.
Together a foolproof investigation.
Chief, is the mother and the family members being cooperative and answering questions? Have they lawyered up? And also the father of Madeline, who is not a Florida resident, is he a part of this investigation or at least being asked questions?
We have interviewed.
This is a great answer of the question. They asked if Jennifer Soto lawyered up, and she answers, this is her answer.
You know, all those family members that are close, mother has cooperated. She did give us an interview. So there's, no one is not cooperating other than Stern.
We know that the crimes were committed in the home. We also have, the date of birth of the person, but we have not confirmed that is Madeline Soto. Would you be able to confirm that information?
Right. So all of the charges are with children under the age of 18, and, they are protected. Their identity is protected under the law.
It's been a couple of weeks. Nobody is charged for the murder of Madeline. Nobody knows exactly what happened to Madeline. We can expect in the couple of days someone's going to face charge for the murder of Madeline Soto.
When the detectives put their case together, like I said before, they want to ensure their investigation is tight. We're working, hand in hand with the state attorney's office to ensure, every piece of evidence is revealed and uncovered. So I can't put a timeline on when that might be.
And Chief, with his cell phone, there's one thing to understand here. So he originally went to the Orange County Sheriff's Office. At least that's what we understand. He gave the cell phone to the Orange County Sheriff's Office. The Sheriff's Office then found something on his phone, which led to an arrest. In the arrest affidavit from Kissimmee PD, it says he offered his phone freely to Kissimmee PD. Can you kind of explain how that happened? Because I just have a tough time understanding how somebody who's been arrested for something on his phone freely gives a phone up.
Well, I don't know the intricate details of, I do know that the Orange County Sheriff's Office and Kissimmee Police Department were working hand in hand, during.
That journalist basically questioned why would someone that was under investigation freely allow a detective to search his phone. So, Phil, you can attest to the fact that bad guys do that all the time. And in his case, she could have answered, well, he thought he did a factory reset on his phone. So he thought he was scot-free and then didn't realize the images were still on the phone.
He wanted to portray his innocence. So yeah, of course, you here's my phone. I got nothing to do with this. Knowing that he did the factory reset. However, he didn't realize that even though he did a factory reset, those images could still be brought up. So he messed up there. We know that perpetrators aren't the smartest, the sharpest knives in the tool drawer.
No.
The actual disappearance investigation. So I don't want to speak on exactly how that happened, but it's not uncommon for us to ask someone if they want to, give up their phone. Well, a lot of things keep me up at night. My takeaway from this is talk to your children, families, talk to your kids. Know that there are agencies out there, the abuse hotline, Help Now, that people can report suspicion to. And I would encourage mothers and fathers to have those conversations with the kids and be aware.
Folks, that's about the scope of the interview. And just to do a sort of a reassessment, recap of what happened today, not that much. We didn't learn much from the press conference. Basically, what we learned is that the Kissimmee police are working very hard on this case, and they continue to do so. And I think I'm confident that they're on the right track. And were we all disappointed that there was no, new information, no smoking gun, or this person's getting arrested, that person, or the homicide charges, the murder charges are coming down today, and we found out this fact? Nothing. We didn't find out any of that. Phil, your final thoughts.
My final thoughts are this. I understand the outrage in the community in Kissimmee, Florida, and I'm outraged as well. For 2 years, we know that SA was going on in this home, And I think that the people that are responsible for it, we need to look into, perhaps there was maybe something, somebody dropped the ball somewhere along the line. You know, with all the focus and the spotlight on that type of abuse over the years, you know, we want to try and create an atmosphere where something like this cannot happen and then continue to happen for a 2-year period. That's the thing. And I don't want to point fingers or criticize anyone or criticize the police department. Let's take this horrible tragedy. We know that the murder happened and the abuse happened. Let's try to prevent it from happening again. That's always the goal when we look at these type of cases. Thoughts and prayers go out to this little girl. May she rest in peace, and the family as well. Thoughts and prayers for them. And let's get justice for this little Madeline Soto. And just give a little bit of patience towards the investigation. I'm sure the chips are going to fall into place. And a little bit of information that she gave in that press conference, she said those responsible, perhaps there is going to be charges for someone other than the perpetrator that's already been charged.
So that was a plural word. If you want to read into it, those implies there's more than one person, but we can't. I don't think the press asked her any real tough follow-up questions, but had they asked the tough follow-up questions, I don't think she would have answered. So Chief Betty Holland, she held the press conference. Again, we didn't learn very much today, but we're going to keep peeled and we're going to keep following this case. Thank everyone for coming in today, tuning into Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. Have a great day and God bless everyone.
Stay safe, everyone.
One episode, just singing the noise.